Welcome to the Human and Technology Podcast. This podcast is for anyone who develops, distributes, or uses technology. For all those who always have the feeling that technology overwhelms or dominates them. For everyone who wants to know how to deal with technology in everyday life. For anyone who wants to understand what technology does to us and how we can get our lives back. This podcast is for those who want to make technology sexy. All the product developers, designers, UX, UI professionals, product managers, CTOs, and CEOs. And it is for you. My name is Dr. Peter Ryska. My friends call me Dr. Peter. I am your host, and I am happy that you are here. Hello, hello, and welcome to this super fresh and new episode of the Human Technology Podcast. Those of you that are a bit attentive, and I know you all are highly attentive, will have realized that I did not publish an episode last week, although I should have done this to keep my bi-weekly rhythm. Last Thursday, we had a national holiday here in Germany, and Friday, Saturday, I was in Aachen for my lecture there at the university. So I decided short term to not record and publish an episode, but move on to this week. And from this week on, I will get back to the bi-weekly rhythm. So in 2 weeks from now, you will hear another episode. So in the last episode, 3 weeks ago, I talked about the greatest challenges in automotive HMI design, and that was an episode providing an overview of the profound changes the industry is currently facing. Automated driving, artificial intelligence, software-defined vehicles, the new Chinese HMI philosophies, the new Chinese OEMs, and basically the question of how humans can still be meaningfully integrated into increasingly complex technological system. That episode was intentionally designed as an introduction, the starting point of a loose series in which I want to explore some of the individual aspects mentioned above step by step. And to start with, hardly any topic is better suited than multimodality. Because at first glance, the direction seems obvious. More interaction channels, more possibilities, more natural interaction. You know, speed, touch, gestures, haptics, gaze control, artificial intelligence-based assistants. And modern vehicles are increasingly evolving into multimodal systems. The term NUI, natural user interfaces, I haven't heard this for quite some time. Can anyone make me aware if this is still under discussion? A couple of years ago, that was the big thing. Natural user interfaces, NUIs. I haven't heard it for quite some time. Maybe I'm wrong, but this is what it is heading for. An intelligence-driven, multimodal interaction between humans and technology. And this is exactly where the real problem begins. Many current concepts appear less like well-integrated, like well-orchestrated. You will hear that term quite some time in this episode. Quite orchestrated user experiences. And today they are more like a collection of technological possibilities. New modalities are often added without truly questioning what concrete value they create for humans. And therefore, the central question is not which modalities can we technically integrate, but rather which form of interaction really makes sense for humans in which situation. And exactly this point, multimodality suddenly becomes far more than just a technological topic. It is about context, about attention, about cognitive load, about trust, safety, and ultimately the question of what interaction inside the vehicle should really feel like. Because the best modality is not necessarily the most modern one. It is the one that creates the biggest value for humans in a specific situation. Five topics in today's episode. Number one, multimodality is not a feature, it's system architecture. Number two has the headline, context beats technology. Three, the return of the analog, something I'm talking about in almost any of my keynotes. Why physical interaction is not disappearing. Number four will be artificial intelligence as the next step for multimodal systems. And finally, number five, the real challenge, creating value instead of adding features. Let's start with number one. Multimodality is not a feature. When people talk about multimodality in an automotive HMIs today, it often creates the impression that the primary focus is the number of available interaction channels. Touchscreens are extended with speech, gesture control is added, haptic feedback is integrated, AI-based assistants are supposed to connect everything, so it's feature-driven. This is exactly where one of the biggest misunderstandings of modern HMI development begins, because multimodality does not automatically mean better user experience. In many vehicles today, systems emerge that feel more like a collection of individual technologies than a consistent interaction concept. Different modalities exist side by side, but they do not follow a clear common logic. Speech works differently than touch. Haptic feedback confirms different things than the visual interface. Functions are accessible through multiple interaction points without any recognizable added value for the user, for the driver, for the people we are developing for. The result is often not simplification, but additional complexity. Therefore, the real challenge is not to offer as many modalities as possible. The challenge is to orchestrate them intelligently. Because different interaction forms have different strengths and weaknesses. Speech can be efficient and work without visual attention. Haptics can reduce attention demands and support muscle memory. Physical controls provide orientation and safety. They can be used blindly. Touch works well for explorative or visually driven tasks. If you have a standing vehicle, a standing car, and you want to program some playlists, touch is nice, a touch screen. At the end, the final question is not which modalities do we have, but which modality creates the greatest value, the biggest value for humans in which context of use. And that is exactly why multimodality becomes an architectural task. It's no longer about individual features. It is about designing an integrated, orchestrated system that works consistently, that reduces cognitive load, that provides situation-dependent support, that organizes interaction as naturally and efficiently as somehow possible. The quality of multimodal HMIs is not determined by the number of input methods, but by how well they guide humans through complexity without appearing complex. And I think that that's a core sentence. Guiding humans through complexity without appearing complex. I mean, there's tons of complexity in automotive HMIs and automotive infotainment systems. It's full of complexity. But making it look easy, making it look like it is super simple and easy to use, that's the art we want to do. Number two, context beats technology. One of the biggest weaknesses of many multimodal HMI concepts lies in the assumption that there is a fundamentally single best form of interaction. This is not the case in vehicles, because automotive HMIs do not exist in a static, stable context of use. They operate in a highly dynamic environment, speed, traffic, stress, driver distraction, weather, fatigue, interactions, social interactions inside the vehicle. All those are components creating a context of use. And this is exactly why the same modality can work excellently, perfectly, nicely, smoothly in one situation and be completely unsuitable in the next one. Speech is a good example of this. During navigation or while composing short messages, speech interaction can provide enormous advantages because the driver's eyes can remain on the road, the hands on the wheel, so it seems to be comparably safe. In noisy environments with poor recognition qualities or in some more complex tasks, speech may create frustration, may not be the suitable. Another example are our touchscreens. They're excellent for visual exploration and more complex information presentation. At the same time, however, they often create visual and cognitive load, high visual cognitive load, while driving. Physical controls, on the other hand, may initially appear a bit old-fashioned, but they provide one crucial advantage. They enable interaction through muscle memory and haptic orientation. You can use them blindly. Yeah? There's no conscious visual attention required necessarily. And therefore, the real challenge of multimodal system lies in understanding context. Not every task requires the same form of interaction. Not every situation allows the same level of attention. Not every user prefers the same mechanisms. There are people out there that are more visual. There are others that are more talkative, more acoustic oriented. And with a multimodal HMI in the car, we can pick them all up and provide them the right means of interaction. Good multimodality does not mean maximum freedom of choice, but situation-dependent optimization. The goal is not to offer as many interaction paths as possible in parallel. The goal is to provide humans, drivers, in a specific situation with exactly the interaction that is most efficient, that is the safest, that is most easy to understand, that is the least, that creates the lowest cognitive load in the driver. To summarize this part in automotive HMI's context almost always beats technology. Be aware who your user is, what they do, what their plans are, what the situation is they're in, and reflect this in the HMI and make the HMI multimodal in the right way and in the right manner. And do not focus on geotechnology. Number three of today, the return of the analog, the revenge of the analog. For many years, automotive industry followed an apparent clear logic. The future is digital. More displays, more surfaces, fewer physical controls. Yeah, the cockpit was increasingly developed into a software-centric space, into a tablet on wheels, into a smartphone on wheels. Yeah, inspired by these consumer products, consumer electronics. That was the big North Star for a couple of years. This development has limits, and this is exactly what I usually describe in my keynotes and other podcasts as the revenge of the analog. This is where it is coming from. We are analog beings, and in this fully digital world, we are not really at home. Technology has changed rapidly. We humans have basically remained the same in the past 10, 12, 15,000 years. Our brains, our cognition, our haptic skills are still based on millions of years of evolutionary development. And touchscreens have never been part of our history until 20 years ago. Yeah, and we have a 10,000, 15,000, 20,000, 70,000 years old history as humans. And 99.9% of the time, we have not used touchscreens. And this explains why physical interaction continues to possess, to provide enormous advantages on vehicle dashboards. Physical controls provide characteristics that purely digital interfaces do not have. Haptic orientation, muscle memory, operation without permanent visual attention, immediate mechanical feedback, feeling of control and safety. And all these things are critical inside the vehicle, because driving is not like a relaxed smartphone use on your sofa at home or on a train or an aircraft. In the car, if you're the responsible driver, you have a highly dynamic environment, and you also experience a constant cognitive load. And the insight here is the future probably lies neither in a complete return to the analog, which is not possible with all the functionality we have in vehicles, nor does it lie in 100% digitalization. So we have a hybrid future. There is a sweet spot somewhere in the middle. And the next generation multimodal HMIs will probably succeed exactly where they combine digital flexibility, intelligent software, and smartly, strategically applied physical interactions. And this changes at the end of the day the role of the physical controls. They are not disappearing. They are becoming more strategic. So not every function requires a button, but some functions benefit from a button. Therefore, the real challenge here is not to eliminate as many physical elements as possible. The challenge is to understand where analog interaction creates real user value. So the best technology is often not the one that feels least like technology. Now, with all our overwhelming technologies that we have, that we interact constantly with, an interaction that feels less technical will probably feel more real and less digital. Number four, artificial intelligence. No one gets around artificial intelligence these days. What role does it play as the next evolutionary step in multimodality, in multimodal HMIs? AI changes multimodality fundamentally. For the first time in technology history, systems are emerging that are no longer, that do not simply react to inputs, but begin to interpret the context we're using it. Who is sitting in front of the HMI? Who is driving? Where are we driving? What conditions do we have outside? Yeah, plus that AI can predict behavior, personal behavior. What is he or she gonna do next? And then dynamically adapt the interaction to contexts, to personal preferences, to abilities that users have. Multimodality evolves from a static combination of different input and output channels into an adaptive, learning, nicely orchestrated system. And I believe the potential is enormous. AI can anticipate user intentions. What will he or she do next? AI can select suitable interaction forms depending on the situation. If I'm driving on an open, sunny autobahn in Germany with not too much traffic, I can of course rely more on the visual channel for an interaction compared to driving into a city, I don't know, in rainy weather and it's getting dark. And so we have a serious problem there. So I need my eyes on the road there. And so AI can detect this and find out, okay, how much information needs to be visual and how can we put as much as possible to the acoustic channel. And AI can prioritize information. Is it really necessary to receive a call when I am in this situation I just described, driving into a city, a foreign city, with the rainy weather? And yeah, do I really need to get a call there? Or can I just put it onto the mailbox? So at the end, AI can help to simplify complex systems and make the interaction feel more natural. Now, just an example, a modern vehicle could recognize that the driver is under heavy cognitive load, that high-speed driving makes precise visual interaction difficult. Certain information is currently more important than other information, and speech could be in this situation more efficient than touch in this specific situation. So the core idea behind this is the interface adapts to the human, not the other way around. We need to know everything about humans to design technology, and this is one of my claims, and this claim is reflected here at this point, that with AI adapting HMIs, the interface adapts to the human and not the other way around. This, of course, creates a new challenge. AI can not only increase the capabilities of the system, but also the perceived complexity, and it can create unpredictability. And so the more a system interprets, anticipates, automates, prepares decisions, the more important become things like transparency, consistency, trust, controllability. And I'm fully aware, and I don't have a clear and single and obvious solution here,
There is a sweet spot somewhere. Yeah, and of course we can do it fully adaptable and then totally confuse the user, or we can make it not adaptable and then stay where we are. And both of them are probably not the best possible solutions. But to be honest, I don't have a clear idea at the moment where exactly that point may be. Just because interaction feels more natural, it does not automatically make it anyhow better and easier. So an AI system that constantly makes suggestion, interrupts users, makes false assumptions, that can quickly become more exhausting than a classic interface. Constantly changing, always adapting, being faster than I am, being smarter than I am, and letting me know that sucks. That's not what we want. Therefore, the central challenge is not to use AI as a solution in itself, but as a tool for reducing complexity. Yeah, so AI-supported multimodality should support instead of dominate. It should give relief instead of being overwhelming. Create orientation instead of uncertainty. The future of multimodal HMIs does not lie in maximum technical intelligence, but in meaningfully applied, well-orchestrated, human-centered intelligence on dashboards. Number 5, creating values instead of adding features. Very critical here. In the end, every discussion about multimodality leads to one simple but decisive question. What value does it create for users, for drivers, for humans? Because this is exactly where the central danger of modern automotive HMI lies. New interaction forms are often introduced because they're technically possible, because they look impressive, because they appear innovative. Speech, gesture, touch, haptics, AI, gaze control. That sounds pretty cool. But from the user's perspective, this does not automatically create a better user experience. If modalities are added, just added, brainlessly added, complexity often increases instead of being reduced. The user then does not receive a simpler system, but just more paths, more options, more rules, more uncertainty. Users must learn which function works through which channel, when speech makes sense, when touch becomes necessary, which gesture is recognized, and why the system sometimes reacts differently than expected. This is not adding value. This is adding cognitive load. Multimodality must solve problems, not demonstrate technology. The central task of an automotive HMI is not to appear as modern, cool, funky, spacey, whatever as possible. Its task is to support humans better in concrete use cases, in concrete contexts of use, in concrete usage situation. And this means a modality only makes sense if it creates a real value, if it really contributes value. So it must make the interaction faster, safer, simpler, easier to understand, more pleasant, more focused. All these are parameters that an improved HMI shall provide. And if it does not achieve that, it's probably not a user experience gain, but what is called a feature bloat. Inside the vehicle, this becomes extremely critical because the user is not sitting in front of a neutral digital device and on a sofa with a smartphone, on his desk with a PC computer. Yeah? So the user is moving through a real environment at comparably high speed. We still have fatalities in traffic. Yeah? Attention is limited and mistakes have consequences. People die and die and die in traffic. And every additional interaction competes with the actual driving task. Multimodality must never become a solution in itself. The wrong question is, what else can we integrate? Yeah, I mean, many developers begin from a technological perspective. We have a new sensor technology. We can recognize gestures. We have a new speech model. We can personalize the system. We can make the entire interior more context sensitive. And I don't want to turn anyone down. All of this is interesting, but it's not the right starting point. The better question is, which human problem are we solving with this specific feature, combination of channels with this multimodality? In which moment does this modality really improve user's life? Yeah, this can mean speech replaces a complex menu structures. Haptics communicate as a faster warning with less distraction than screens. A physical controller makes a frequently used function more reliable. Yeah, AI reduces information instead of adding more. A display no longer shows what is technically available, but only what is situationally relevant. And this is the point when value emerges. Value emerges through reduction, not addition. A good multimodal HMI is not the system with the highest number of input possibilities. It is the system that offers the user the right interaction in a concrete situation while allowing everything else to fade into the background. It sounds simple, but this is one of the most complex and most challenging design challenge I see at the moment. Because real value creation does not just mean adding something. It means leaving things away. Yeah? Less visual searching, fewer menu layers, fewer operating errors, fewer uncertainty, less need for explanation, lowered cognitive load. And this is exactly where the quality of a good HMI lies. It makes complexity manageable without constantly confronting the user with it. From a usability perspective, multimodality must first function properly. Reliability, understandability, consistency, efficiency. A speech control system that can only understand occasionally is not any progress. It does not deliver anything. A gesture control that produces false alarms, false activations, is not increasing comfort. Haptic feedback that is unclear, yeah, does not create safety. But all that is not even enough from a UX perspective. The additional question is, how does the interaction feel? Does it create trust? Does it provide control? Does it reduce stress? Does it fit the situation? Does it support humans without patronizing them? This is exactly where it is decided whether multimodality is experienced as a real improvement or merely as another layer of technical complexity. Humans remain the benchmark. Therefore, the biggest challenge of multimodal HMIs is to think consistently from the human perspective. It's not the sensor, it's not the display, it's not the speech model, it's not the feature set, it's not the CES trade show demonstrator. Yeah, the human in a concrete situation, this means, what is the person currently trying to do? How much attention, how much cognitive capacities are available? What information is really required? Which interaction can be safely performed at this moment? What can reduce cognitive load? What can, on the other side, overwhelm the person? And how can we create trust? And once we have answered these questions, we can design meaningful, valuable HMIs and do multimodality in an appropriate way. Multimodality is only valuable if it does not create more interaction, but better interaction. It must not serve to make technology visible. It must serve to make complexity less visible. And therefore, the future of automotive HMI does not lie in the addition of more and more channels. It lies in the intelligent selection, prioritization, and, using this word again, orchestration of interaction. The best multimodality is not recognizable because users have many possibilities. It's recognizable because, at the end, at the right moment, users receive exactly what they need in this context as this specific personality. All right, let's come to the end. Ultimately, the quality of multimodal HMIs is not determined by the number of integrated technologies, but by their intelligent orchestration. This is exactly where one of the biggest misconceptions of many current development lies. Multimodality is often understood as the addition of new features. One more input method, one more channel, one more technology demonstration. True user centricity does not emerge through technological variety alone. It emerges when different modalities interact meaningfully, complement each other, and situationally deliver exactly what humans need in that moment. Not more, not less. The best modality is not the most modern one, but the one that creates the greatest value for humans in a specific situation. And that is exactly why multimodality is not a collection of individual features, but an orchestration of possibilities. The challenge is not to provide as many interactions as possible, but to develop a consistent, understandable, and relieving overall systems for them. The future of automotive HMI does not belong to the vehicles with the highest number of modalities, but to those that best understand when which modality truly makes sense. That's it for today. Thank you for spending time with me. I hope you were able to take something with you and do something for yourself that will be forever. For an ongoing exchange, you will find me on LinkedIn and on my websites, peter-rusker.com and beyond-hmi.de. Write me an email on the podcast at beyond-hmi.de. Tune in next time, take care, and stay healthy.